Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began crying out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us. But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wished." And her daughter was healed at once. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of Scripture, it's a portion that many people struggle with because it seems so unkind and out of character of Jesus as we know him. But Lord, help us to see his compassion here as well. And help us, Lord, to trust your character, your promises, and help us to believe that you truly and really graciously answer the prayers of all your people. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given to the Jewish people throughout history, and especially that you've given them the patriarchs. You've given them your word in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. But we also thank you for the heritage that we have, the other number 12 that we have in the New Testament, the apostles that were chosen, to those who are chosen to represent Jesus and to pass on his message. And we still hear even today the message that he gave to them to share not only with the people around them, but also to the nations. So that as we read and confessed in Psalm 67, God truly blesses us that all the nations of the world might be blessed. We pray that you would bless us, Lord, and cause us to be a blessing to those around us, in our community, in our state, in our nation, as well as to the ends of the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to take some surveys about prayer and things you've prayed about, I'm sure many could list many times that God answered your prayers. And then there might be other times that you'd say, "Well, God didn't answer my prayers," or maybe more accurate would be, "God didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted him to answer my prayers." I've heard Christians encouraging other Christians to pray, especially for non-Christians. Take time in a situation just to say, "Would you mind if I prayed about that?" And pray about that if it's suitable, but pray about it on the spot. And this author said, a lot of times as Christians, we're kind of nervous. Well, what if God doesn't answer my prayers? And his response was, you know what? A lot of the non-Christians that were around know that God won't answer their prayers. And so your prayers are a whole lot better hope of being answered than theirs. And just to pray and to let God be invited into that situation and see how he responds. We see a few examples, actually quite a few examples, but a few that I'll highlight today of prayers that were prayed in the Old Testament and how God responded and answered. After the people, Moses went up to get on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and while he was there, he was delaying a long time, at least that's what the people thought, and they began to worship idols. They used the right name. This is Yahweh who delivered us out of Egypt, but it was idolatry, and God was forbidding that, and clearly stated certainly in the Ten Commandments. But Moses prayed that God would spare his people, that he would forgive them. And it wasn't for the sake of the people, but he was saying, for your sake and for the promises that you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that the nations wouldn't say God was able them to deliver them out of Egypt, but he couldn't sustain them. Again, for God's glory and God's honor. In the book of Joshua chapter 10, God had promised Joshua that day would not end before they were victorious in battle. And Joshua didn't know how that was going to happen, but he believed the promise of God. And he prayed, again, a one-time prayer not to be repeated again, but a sun stands still prayer at Gibeon and O Moon in the valley of Ajalon. And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go for about a whole day. There was no day like it before or after when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp of Gilgal. And then when Solomon was chosen to be the new king after King David, God said to Solomon, ask anything you want. Of course, the temptation would be, I want to be rich, I want to be powerful, I want to be all these things. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And the word of God says, in verse 9, so give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said, because you have asked this thing, have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. And then God promised to give wisdom and discernment and wealth in addition to those things. You might think, well, wonderful, Pastor Dave, I'm not Moses. I'm not a leader of God's people. I'm not Joshua, who followed him, General Joshua, and his successful military campaigns. And I'm not King David, the King of Israel. I'm just a normal person. Why should or why does God listen to my prayers? And as we look at this passage here, I want to highlight today that God's character is certain. It doesn't change as the circumstances around us change. His promises are trustworthy. We can believe what he says no matter what. Then also that he graciously answers the prayers of his people. We see beginning in verses 21 and 22 that a Canaanite woman, and in the Gospel of Mark, Mark highlights that she's a Gentile. Again, similar idea, but Matthew's highlighting a Canaanite woman, part of the group of people that were supposed to be destroyed because of their idolatry and their sinful practices, and God was judging that nation. Just as a real quick footnote, you might have seen on Facebook and other, I don't know if I want to say other news sources, but anyway, if you consider Facebook a news source, other news sources as well, but the idea that God's word is not faithful because God's word says that all the Canaanites were wiped out, but we have discovered through tracing the genes that a lot of people who are Lebanese today are from that race of people or that group of people. And it's not a contradiction. It's not that God's word is not trustworthy. It's that God's people didn't do what God said to do. And so many of the Canaanites lived on. Many of the Canaanites became a snare and a negative example to the Israelite people and got them caught up in idolatry and the giving of their firstborn child, given in the arms of a false god who was burning hot, where the child would be burnt up for the welfare of the rest of the family. Here a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, comes with a petition to Jesus. Her request was for mercy. Have mercy on me. We read in verse 21 that he approached that area, that region. He withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, the northern parts and along the coast. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me. She wasn't real concerned with what will people around me think if I make too much noise. She was desperate. She was in a very difficult situation. And notice her appeal to Jesus, how she speaks to him in verse 22. She uses a messianic title. Again, how much she had heard, we don't know, but she heard enough about Jesus to know, to possibly believe that he truly is the Jewish Messiah. That he has power and authority. And she was thinking, even though I don't deserve it, I'm not part of that people group, I'm going to ask for mercy anyway. We see that her motivation in verse 22 was that of desperation. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And she explains she's cruelly possessed and suffering terribly. And when the Bible talks about someone being demon-possessed, it's not in the pop culture, pop psychology sense that people use, talking about the demons of their life, in their life, that they have to exorcise those demons. That's not the idea. It's a real fallen angel. One of the angels that rebelled against God when Satan rebelled against him in the very beginning. And Satan and his demons desire to hurt and to destroy, to confuse, to teach false doctrine, to lead us astray, to keep us in his kingdom, which is what we're born into by nature. That is our natural condition, including this woman. Her daughter was demon-possessed. She comes up to Jesus and asks him for mercy. And we see his response in verse 23, which is a surprising response for us. Partly because we have the whole New Testament. We have all four of the Gospels. And we see how Jesus was merciful to people, how he was forgiving, how he healed, how he helped in so many different ways. Even other people who were saying to Bartimaeus, who was blind, "Be quiet, don't bother Jesus." Jesus turned and responded to his cry. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I want to see." And Jesus restored his sight to him. Here, what did Jesus say? Not a word. Nothing. Again, the story doesn't stop there. We have to get to the end of the story to see what Jesus is doing. And even then, we might not understand completely. But Jesus didn't answer. And I believe partly it was he was working with that woman, but I believe also he was working with his disciples. He was teaching and training them. Then in the second part of verse 23 and verse 24, we see the disciples' petition. The first petition was this woman saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus didn't respond at all. Then his disciples came up and their request was, "Send her away." And the idea here, she kept on asking for mercy. And here they keep on asking Jesus to send her away. And it could either be, help her with what she's asking for so that we can be not bothered, so that we can be left alone. Either help her or don't help her and send her away. And it almost seemed like it didn't matter one way or the other to the disciples of Jesus. But the idea that they just didn't want to be bothered by her anymore. It's not that they were compassionate and concerned about her. They said to Jesus, "Send her away because she keeps shouting at us." So the idea literally, she was following after them and crying out. Just help her or send her away so that we can have peace and quiet. She's driving us nuts. She's bothering us. It wasn't the first time that Jesus' disciples were bothered by those who were in need, who had either spiritual or physical needs that Jesus ended up responding to and helping. The basis for which his disciples came to Jesus, of course, he was their teacher, he was their master, their rabbi. They knew and they were learning that he was also the Messiah, and they had already seen his power and his authority that he exercised. Of course, their motive, not like the woman's motive, whose motive is compassion and concern and desperation out of concern for the welfare of her daughter. The disciples' motivation was annoyance. "She's bugging us. Help her and send her away because she keeps shouting out after us." And then Jesus' response, and it's for everyone to hear, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And again, that might sound unkind and cruel, but that was honestly Jesus' mission. Not that he never interacted with the Gentiles, and it's usually about the Gentiles more than the Jewish people that he highlighted or commended their great faith in him. But indeed, his mission was for the lost sheep of Israel. But his death was not only for the house of Israel, but for all the peoples of the world. And we see that from the time of his resurrection, he commissioned his church to make disciples of all the nations, even the Gentiles, even what would have been common at that time, the Gentile dogs that are unclean and unworthy. We see the Canaanite woman's second petition in 25 through 28. The first request was to have mercy on me. Second request is to help me. Verse 25, she came and began to bow down before him and saying, Lord, help me. And the idea of bowing down is either bowing down or worshiping him. To worship Jesus. Just like not too long ago, we saw the disciples of Jesus when they saw him calm the wind and the waves and get in the boat. They said, they worshiped him and said, truly you are the Son of God. Here she bows down before Jesus and asking him again, Lord, help me. And let me read the next part in the harshest way that I can. Then I'll explain a few things. Jesus' response, the first time, how did he respond? He responded without a word. He didn't say anything back to that woman that was asking him for mercy. And here, the request is, Lord, help me. His answer, he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Seems like a pretty harsh response, doesn't it? It seems harsh because we assume that God owes us something. People get angry at God and say, if God is a loving God, how would he allow? And then fill in the blank. And isn't that assuming that each one of us who are born dead in our trespasses and sins, not only passively dead that we can't respond to God, but actively dead that we resist his will by nature every chance we get? Don't tell me what God says. You keep that Bible out of my business. Who are you to tell me what's right and what's wrong? That's the normal mode of each human being apart from the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about repentance and faith in Christ. All of us, or I should maybe say it this way, none of us deserve God's mercy. None of us deserve God's love. The fact that God loves us, that he's merciful toward us, is our motivation for praise of him. Rather than saying, well, God gave me this, but I sure expected a whole lot more. The attitude of humility is, Lord, I don't even deserve this. Jesus said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Again, Paul says, as we read in Romans chapter 11, that he was called to be an apostle of the Gentiles. He usually started with the Jewish people whenever he traveled to a new location on his missionary journeys. But when he would share the gospel with them, those who believed, trusted in Christ and were forgiven, he would work with them, but they would also work with the Gentiles. For the Jewish people that rejected him and his message and ultimately and most seriously rejected Jesus as the Messiah, he would say something like, you considered yourself unworthy of eternal life, so now I'm going to the Gentiles. Paul said part of what he did is he'd magnify his ministry to the Gentiles to make the Jewish people jealous, to make them say, well, wait a second, it should be coming to us. Why are you bringing it to someone else and wanting them to hear? But we see, again, Jesus' primary ministry was to the Jewish people during his earthly ministry. But he also reached out and ministered to the Gentiles as well. The word, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Again, it's a harsh word. Okay, I'll say something that will make it a little less harsh, but it's still harsh. And that's what the law is. That's the bad news. It's that part of God's word that I don't want to hear because it shows me my sin, shows me my unworthiness. The word that Jesus used here for dogs is the diminutive. And we do that in English. It's in English. It's in Greek too. The Apostle John writes to his hearers as his little children. And the diminutive, and it happens in Portuguese as well, it can sometimes mean dear. It can have that endearing term. It's certainly the diminutive is just the smaller version. So the idea that Jesus is saying here, and again, let me ask this question, and I think the answer is yes. But by Jesus' choice of words, not a wild street dog, which would have been used about the Jewish people in general, the Canaanite people in particular. Instead of the word for a wild street dog, he talked about a smaller dog. Sometimes you could translate it puppies. But the idea of a small dog, that would be a house dog. Again, please, the dogs of that day didn't have their own special dog food and all kinds of things that we would have in our culture today. We think differently. But this woman hears Jesus saying that it's not proper to take the bread for the children and give it to their puppies. And I believe even in that choice of words, Jesus was opening up an opportunity for that woman who was so desperate, who was asking for mercy, who was asking for help, to take that word and say, even in that harshness, there's mercy there. And she responds in faith, or possibly her faith was growing at that time through this situation. And what did she respond? Yes, Lord. And then she took the word that Jesus used. But even the dogs, even the puppies or the small house dogs would feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was like, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for that which is not right. I'm asking for a little. A little bit of your mercy. A little bit of your compassion. Not that she deserved it. Not that you deserve it. Not that I deserve it. Not that any of us deserve it. But because God is gracious. Because God gives us promises to cling to. Because God gives us assurance that He hears and responds to our prayers. We see Jesus' response in verse 28. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wished. And her daughter was healed at once. That evil spirit who was tormenting her daughter was gone. Of course, I have no doubt that that woman, when she went home, she saw what happened. I have no doubt that she probably evangelized better than most of us do. Do you know what Jesus did for me? Do you know what Jesus, who I believe is the Messiah, you know what He did even for me? Even a Gentile dog, unworthy of His kindness. He helped me. He had mercy on me. Jesus said, O woman, great is your faith. Again, that great faith, that phrase is used as He dealt with Gentiles who believed. Who believed that He was the Messiah. Gentiles who believed the promises of God. Let me read a few parts of the small catechism, just in helping us and motivating us in our prayer life. And I'll close with these things, and then one quote from the Lutheran Study Bible, one of the footnotes there. From the third petition of the Lord's Prayer from Luther's small catechism, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Question, what does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer. But we pray that in this petition, that it may be done also among us. How is this done when God destroys and brings to nothing every evil counsel and purpose of the devil, the world, and our flesh, which would hinder us from hallowing His name and preventing the coming of His kingdom? And when He strengthens us and helps keep us steadfast in the word and in faith, even unto our end, this is His good and gracious will. The fourth petition, give us this daily bread. What does this mean? God indeed gives daily bread to all men, even to the wicked, without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that He would so lead us to acknowledge our daily bread as His gift and to receive it with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Everything that is required to satisfy our bodily needs such as food and clothing, house and home, field and flocks, money and goods, pious parents, children and servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, seasonable weather, peace and health, order and honor, true friends, good neighbors, and the like. And then from the question 271 and the next few following, when should we pray? The attitude of our heart should be one of constant prayer, and our communion with God should be not be confined to certain times and places, but we should speak with him whenever we feel need of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Ephesians 6:18a, with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit. Question 272, for whom shall we pray? We should pray not only for ourselves, but also for others, even our enemies. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For what should we pray? Question 273, first of all, we should pray for the spiritual gifts necessary to our salvation, but we also may also pray for other gifts, both spiritual and temporal. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then 1 Corinthians 12:31a, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then question 274, must we always remember when we pray for things not necessary to our salvation? We must always remember that God alone knows whether such a prayer answered would truly benefit us. When asking for such gifts, we should always add, Lord, if it is your will. And we see the example of Jesus in Matthew 26:39c, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then just real briefly from the footnote of the Lutheran Study Bible, this persistent Canaanite woman gains Jesus' praise for believing that he will help her sick daughter. In time of need, we often either fail to pray with such determination or only ask hesitantly. Instead, we ought to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Jesus hears all prayers offered in his name and will answer in his own time and way as is best for us. Therefore, we can pray with confidence. Lord, sometimes I do not have because I ask not. Move me to pray with confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.